Do you swear on the Constitution of the United States to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
This is Police Radio,
the voice of American law enforcement,
with your host, Randy Sutton.
Hello and welcome to Police Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I'm your host, Randy Sutton. Thanks for tuning in. We have a great show for you today. We have an incredible guest. I'll introduce him shortly. But before we even continue with that, let's take a walk to the briefing room where I will give you my view from the blue.
The briefing room. Headlines, stories, and all that touches American law enforcement.
This is a week in which we remember those who gave their lives both in service to their country and their city in New York City, and also those innocents who lost their lives in the worst terror attack on American soil in our history. I refer, of course, to the World Trade Center attacks on September 11th and the attacks on the Pentagon and the aircraft that crashed in Pennsylvania. That was a day in history that all of us who lived through it will remember literally to our dying day. It was a day that America had to come to terms with radical Islamic terrorism on a scale that we've never seen before. Those were terrible days. The images of people jumping from the World Trade Center are embedded in our minds. The thousands of family members who were touched by loss, by pain, is something still felt to this very day. It was a terrible time in our history. And each year when we think about this day and we commemorate this day, we do so out of a sense of duty and honor, and we feel love for those who gave their lives in the ultimate sacrifice, those amazing members of the New York City Fire Department, New York Police Department, and the Port Authority Police. It was the deadliest day in law enforcement history. So fast forward 15 years to this September 11th. The sadness is still here. The grief is still permeating our nation. And on that day, football players, National Football League players making millions and millions of dollars, dishonor their country, dishonor their flag, dishonor their team by protesting and failing to stand for our national anthem. I can't think of anything that is more foul and disgusting. Not only did some of those members not stand, but some even threw up the Black Power salute, the one used by the Black Panthers who killed more than 21 police officers. What is wrong with them? What has our nation come to when we will accept this kind of treasonous behavior by multimillionaire sports figures claiming to be oppressed, claiming that it is the police who are oppressing the Black community? It's lies. And not only is it lies, it damages our nation. It divides us. And instead of standing up and commemorating the terrible loss our nation faced, they use this time for their own personal political statements. Well, I for one will never watch another National League football game. I'm done with them. I think that we as Americans owe it to the memories of those who lost their lives that day to boycott the NFL and to make our thoughts known to those treasonous players on social media and where it'll hit them the worst, which is in their fat wallets. I never thought I would say this as an American, but I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of those people. I'm ashamed that they are Americans. And that is my view from the blue. I'd like to take just a moment to tell you about an organization that I am closely associated with. In fact, I'm their national spokesman. It's Blue Lives Matter. And Blue Lives Matter is a grassroots organization made up of law enforcement officers, former and retired, as well as active duty, as well as their families and just plain good citizens who believe in their law enforcement. This organization has a website, bluelivesmatter.blue, which gives you all the up-to-date news on everything involving law enforcement. So come take a look at it, check out the news, and then like us on Facebook. You'll be glad you did. Before we go over to the interview room to visit with my guest this week, I want to tell you a little bit about him. He is one of the finest speakers that I have ever seen on law enforcement topics. Dave Grossman is his name, and he served in the United States Army as a sergeant in the 82nd Airborne, a platoon leader in the 9th Infantry Division, a general staff officer, a company commander in the 7th Light Infantry Division, as well as a paratrooper and a graduate of the Ranger School. He went on to become a professor of psychology at West Point. In 1998, he retired from the military as a professor of military science at the Arkansas State University. He has written numerous books, and he speaks about terrorism, he speaks about police training, he speaks about police safety, and he is truly one of the finest speakers that I've ever met.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. We invite you back to AmericaOutLoud.com to get all the latest. Make it a daily stop and also get the app. You go right to the App Store and download our free app, and that will put all our content right into your hands on your phones and your tablets. It doesn't get any easier than that.
Today on Police Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, is a legend in the police training world, Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. Dave, thanks so much for being on my show today.
Randy, it's good to see you, my old friend. We've been touching base across the decades. I've been reading your work. I'm a big fan, and I'm honored to be on your show.
Well, and the same thing goes for me. You know, I've heard you speak on numerous occasions. You have a tremendous influence on the law enforcement community and on the nation as well. Your stuff is absolutely amazing. Your books, your lectures, and so this is a great opportunity for my audience, who are made up many members of American law enforcement, along with those who support law enforcement. So I think the message that we need to get out today is really important about the current situation in law enforcement. So let's get into what is your message today when you're going out and you're interacting with police officers all over the nation?
You know, it's multifaceted. You know, New Republic just had a reporter sit through my whole class. Who knows what they're going to do with it? You know, kind of a left wing outfit. But you can't sit through the whole class without knowing there's some good things happening here. You know, we call them to duty. Where, you know, the wrap up is that, you know, people die for love. There's only one reason people lay their life down. It's a love of nation. You know, we've got a Sheepdog Kids book out now. You can find it on Amazon.com. And a Sheepdog Kids book, it wraps up by saying that the sheep will die to protect the ones they love. Only the sheepdog loves enough to die for other people's loved ones. But sometimes the greatest love is not to sacrifice your life, but to live a life of sacrifice. And you know, the kids get that. And so that's kind of my theme, is that life of sacrifice and life of service. But we also talk about some of the problems out there. And I'll tell them, we're now in a zero defects environment. You know, on out of the three shifts on any given day, there's maybe 500,000 cops on duty. What are the odds out of 500,000 cops, one of them is going to do something stupid? And right, it's going to be caught on film. It's going to be caught on film. We're going to have to live with it. And so in this zero defects item, if we want to make a change in law enforcement, the number one area is sleep. We can no longer afford that sleep-deprived cops out there. You know, I'm in the air every night. I was in six cities in 6 days last week. I got home for about 26 hours and headed back out. The previous weekend, I was home for a total of 4 hours. You know, I took a shower, changed clothes, headed back out again. And I'm in the air every day. And the airlines are in a zero defects environment, but they mandate sleep. Truckers, over 1 million truckers out there on the road every day, and they mandate sleep. I tell my state troopers, I said, you know, if a trucker drives a rig off the road, the first thing I do is look at his logs, look at his sleep. When a cop does something stupid, the first thing to do is look at his sleep. And you know, if an airline executive says, no, I'll fly that plane even though you're tired, that guy's going to jail. You know, and so we said, we're going to burn those cops in Chicago. We're going to fire them. I'm fine. Hold them accountable for their action. But look at their chain of command. And all the way up their chain of command, if they nurtured an environment in which sleep-deprived cops made life and death decisions, every one of the people up that chain of command should be held accountable. It's the elephant in the living room of law enforcement. Sleep-deprived people do stupid stuff. The rotating shifts that we're doing out there is medical negligence. The human body was not designed to rotate shifts. The 12-hour shifts are insane. Cops want to be like firefighters. We want all that time off. Well, firefighters get to sleep in bed. They get to sleep on the job. Only firefighters and prostitutes make money in bed. So whenever we turn to 12-hour shifts, accidents explode, internal affairs investigations explode. The old-timers knew what they were doing, Randy. 8-hour shifts and bid for your shift. You want to stay on nights for a lifetime, good for you. You got the seniority, you want to switch the days, good for you. You've earned it. You have the seniority. But it's broken, Randy, and no longer get away with it. We got to be held to the same standard as truckers.
I understand exactly what you're saying, and is also one of the least discussed subjects in law enforcement. And yet it has such a tremendous effect all across the board on the health, safety, emotional welfare, yes. And the department's liability.
Yes. We know in the military, we know that sleep deprivation is one of the greatest predictors of suicide. Sleep deprivation is one of the greatest predictors of PTSD. If you're sleep deprived when the bad stuff comes out, you're far more likely to have a pathological response. A Harvard study tells us sleep deprivation is the greatest predictor of ethical failures. It's the greatest predictor of use of force failures. It is no longer acceptable. We've got to start a campaign. It says there is a problem with law enforcement. You know, we see a video of a cop doing something stupid. We got to own that one. There's no way around it. That's stupid. Why is he doing this? And I tell you, every time we dig into it, it's sleep deprivation.
That's fascinating. Fascinating. You know, I don't think the political left will want to hear that, though. I think that they'll look upon that and they'll poo-poo it, and it will never make the national media.
Well, you know, I've seen it resonate everywhere. It's like people do this, you know, and I've got activists, you know, they consider themselves political activists. And they say, why didn't I ever know this? Why didn't I know that truck drivers are held to a higher standard of sleep than cops are?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what's going to happen, Randy. Here's why people don't want to talk about it. We're short on cops. We're understaffed. We got to put tired cops out there. No, you don't. There's no excuse whatsoever to put a tired cop out there. But you don't have enough cops, pay them more.
Exactly. And because part of this equation is that because of the low pay, what are they doing? They're moonlighting. They're going out and they're taking second jobs.
Yes. And you know, they're just like doctors or airline pilots. They've got to be required. Truck drivers got to be required to get X amount of sleep. So it's the area where we can make a difference, where we can find some consensus. But Randy, what's happening now? You know, the homicide rate last year exploded. In Clark County, the greater Las Vegas area, you're very familiar. The newspapers there say that last year there's a 107% increase in the homicide rate last year compared to the year before. Now, the following data is straight out of the New York Times. Last year, the homicide rate's up 76% in Milwaukee, 60% in St. Louis, 56% in Baltimore, 44% in Washington, D.C. The Washington Post says that in the top 50 largest cities in America last year, homicides up 17% across the board. And this year's even worse. Chicago had a 20-odd% increase in homicide last year, and Chicago is just a few short of having the same number of homicides so far this year, all of last year put together. 2 months ago, it was Minneapolis, St. Paul. Cops in St. Paul tell me that they've had more homicides this year than all of last year put together. And what's happened, if you've been in my classes across the years, I said that Latin American model, the hyperviolence of Latin America. You know, we think about Mexico. Mexico's at war with the cartels. But the truth is, a dozen Latin American nations are more violent than Mexico. Mexico's really in the middle of the pack. And right. I've been for years that Mexico model is our future. Mass murder of cops, open warfare, total disregard for law, mass murders in our cities. It's here. Since the American Civil War, we have not seen such an explosion of violence, of Americans killing each other off. This is going to build. Now, we kept violence down for 25 years by medicating 30 million people, by putting 2.5 million in jail. We went from 100 per 100,000 Americans in jail to 500 per 100,000 Americans in jail. In 2008, in 2008, we ran out of prisons. For 40 years straight, without fail, per capita incarceration rate went up. And then in 2008, we ran out of prisons. And for the first time in 40 years, that line's coming down. We will never medicate enough people to solve this problem. We will never build enough jails to solve this problem. We know what it is. Our entire medical community is screaming from the mountainside. The sick movies and the sick video games are creating sick kids worldwide. And we've been able to suppress this thing. And around the planet, the same thing is happening. An explosion of violence. Children committing crimes in their schools like nothing in human history. Going up against crimes we never dreamed of. And the upshot of this, Randy, in the very near future, you'll see a backlash in the opposite direction. This is not going to stand. The American public will not tolerate it. We'll see a major backlash. Will it take a year? Will it take a decade? I can't tell you. But I tell you, as we continue to move in that direction, you and I are just barely old enough to remember politicians who said, you know, I'm the tough on crime politician. You know, I'm going to stick to the criminals. When was the last time we heard that? We haven't heard that for 30 years. Well, it's back. It's coming like a freight train.
Well, what we've been hearing from this current administration is an unleashing of more and more criminals on the American public through the wholesale release of prisoners in the federal system and even some states.
Isn't that insane? It and again, there will be a backlash. You know, I hope somebody's tracking every one of these pardoned individuals. Because the first one who commits a homicide should be hung on Obama's doorstep. There will be a list in the very near future. There will be a list of many, many of these individuals who went out and committed violent crimes. And every one of them should be hung at the doorstep of this administration.
Absolutely. And the way that propaganda that they utilize through the Department of Justice and through the administration is that these are drug offenders who are nonviolent.
Yeah.
And that's the way they sell it without realizing, looking through history, that the methodology used to incarcerate the worst of the worst was using the drug laws.
You know, and look how we put Al Capone in jail over tax violations.
Exactly.
It's the same thing. Oh, you know, Al Capone, he just had he's a white collar crime with a tax evasion. Why should we put Al Capone in jail? Same story. You know, when we find these violent offenders, we know they commit these violent crimes, and we find them with drugs. As you say, drugs are the tool that we can use to put them in jail. And the prosecutors who were putting these people in jail, they're not stupid. They're not intentionally seeking out nonviolent offenders. Our jails are full. Our jails are full of scary people. And everybody goes in, somebody's got to come out. And our judges and prosecutors, in general, the criminal justice system is not stupid. The people we put in jail are some very scary people. And the wholesale release of those people is negligent. The current Department of Justice is a department of injustice. And there will be a backlash of enormous magnitude. Not this election. The choices we have this election are pretty grim. But I think in the next election cycle, you'll see some profound backlash of enormous magnitude, like nothing we have seen in half a century.
You must have been apoplectic when you heard the Department of Justice now not allowing the convicted criminals to be called convicts. Now they have to be called previously incarcerated individuals or clients of some type. It's like some weird. Somehow we went through the looking glass and we wound up in some alternative reality of political correctness.
Yeah. You know, it's George Orwell. It's just an Orwellian universe. You know what? I actually, it's more like A Clockwork Orange. If you really want to look at one of the dystopian representations of the future, the one that nailed it was not Big Brother and Orwell. The one that nailed it was Clockwork Orange. And again, you know, just have faith in our nation, have faith in our way of life, hang in there. This too shall pass. You know, I tell all my audiences, we're doing a Saturday Sheepdog House of Worship security team training, and it's huge. I mean, we're getting 400 people show up for a one-day seminar. And every year, more people are murdered in houses of worship than schools. And a lot of people are being murdered in our schools. But what I tell all my audiences, don't you dare give up on this nation. There have been other hard times. You think this is bad? Look at 1812 when they burned Washington to the ground. Look at this Civil War when we killed the Rock by the hundreds of thousands. Look at the hell of World War I, the World War II, or the Cold War. You and I remember thermonuclear Holocaust, Korea, Vietnam, hanging overhead decade after decade. There have been other hard times. We made it through those hard times because Americans stood and sacrificed, and it's our turn to sacrifice. I turned 60 last week. I've been on the road for 19 years, almost 300 days a year. And it's my prayer I can be on the road for another decade. Well, whatever we're called to do, we got to do.
You are. I marveled at your stamina for travel, even when did we first meet 10 years ago, and you were keeping that schedule even then. Yeah. And it's absolutely amazing. But I want to go back. Some of my listeners probably do not understand the sheepdog philosophy, and so I'd like you to just go into that a little bit.
You know, you can go to Amazon.com and look up the book Sheepdogs, you know, Meet Our Nation's Warriors. And the sheepdogs are the protectors. And we talk about how some people are sheep. They're not capable of violence. Some people are wolves, and the wolves will feed them the sheep. And some people are sheepdogs. If you have no capacity for violence, then you're a nonviolent citizen. And when the wolf shows up, you're in big trouble if there's not a sheepdog there. If you have a capacity for violence and an absence of empathy, violence without empathy is a pretty good thumbnail difference of a sociopath, a psychopath. But what if you had a capacity for violence and a love for the lambs? What if you spent a lifetime nurturing the capacity for violence and a desire to use it in a righteous battle? What do you have? A sheepdog, a protector. And we say in our book, you know, it's kind of a magic day when they realize they're sheepdogs. It's like the story of the ugly duckling. You know, the sheepdogs think there's something wrong with them. They would never harm the flock, but they've grown up being told there's something wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with them. We're a nation of sheepdogs. We're an armed nation. We have a higher ratio of sheepdogs in this nation than most nations around the planet. We wrap up the book by saying, you know, in nature, you're born a wolf, you're born a sheep, and wolves are not really bad, and they're part of nature. But we're humans. We can be whatever we want to be. Have you got what it takes to be a sheepdog? And so that sheepdog model, we've been able to push, and we wrap up the book by saying the sheep will die to protect the ones they love. Only the sheepdog loves enough to die for other people's loved ones. But they don't make them heroes. They're heroes because they walk out the door every day prepared to lay down their life.
Exactly.
Sometimes the greatest love is not to sacrifice your life, but to live a life of sacrifice. So that's a sheepdog model in a nutshell.
Well, you know, I want to talk about this because I think this is one of the most important. And now this philosophy of a warrior spirit is under attack by the President of the United States, yeah, by the Department of Justice, by the 21st century policing model that is now being forced down the throats of, shall we say, subservient and compliant police leadership that is drinking the Kool-Aid, and it is the warrior in the sheepdog that it is that spirit that creates the ability to protect.
Well, you know, there's a couple things I tell my audience. Now, first off, the people talking about the Guardian have got a point. And, you know, I'm a law enforcement officer. My job is never to kill. My job is to save lives. We're shooting to save lives. Once that person is no longer a deadly force threat, we'll try to save their life too. And that's really powerful. I train across America some of the Predator and Reaper squadrons. At the presidential level, they've been told to kill this guy. If the Predator operator and the Hellfire missile does not kill that guy, they have failed in their mission. Their mission, without any bones, is to kill.
Right.
A cop's job is never to kill. We're always there trying to save lives. So they have a point. There's a clear difference between that military model and law enforcement. But on the other hand, there's those who are screaming the loudest, but never use that evil word warrior, are going to look very, very foolish in the near future. We are at war, and the enemy will strike again. I believe they'll hit our daycares, they'll hit our schools, they'll hit our school buses, and they'll destroy our way of life in a day. And the American public is going to realize, Posse Comitatus says, the military cannot get involved. There is no elite Delta Force showing up to save your kids. In America, in time of war, for all practical purposes, the law enforcement is another branch of the U.S. Armed Forces. They're the frontline troops in time of war. And how can you call it anything other than treason to disarm and attack the frontline troops in time of war? So the definition of a warrior is a master of war. We're at war, and we need our warriors in our home front to protect our loved ones, to protect our way of life. The second, I tell people that, you ever wonder what that shield is about? That badge, that shield, that chunk of armor on the left side? It is a direct, intentional reference to the warrior. The Zulu warrior, their symbol is a shield. The Apache warrior, before gunpowder, their symbol is a shield. And the knights of old, you know, that's where we draw from. The knights of old, the paladin. And they woke up in the morning, they donned armor, they hung a weapon on the hip, they hung a shield on the left side. And on that shield is under whose authority the paladin went forth, did good deeds, and brought justice on the land. 500 years ago, the knight went away. Gunpowder defeated armor, the knight went away. Today, for the first time in centuries, there are warriors who wake up every morning and most of them don armor. They hang a weapon on the hip, and they hang a shield, a star, a chunk of armor on the left side. And on that shield is under whose authority they go forth, administer justice, and do good deeds in the land. If that is not a knight, you tell me what is. If you don't like that word warrior, then throw the shield away. Throw the star away. That's what I'm telling people. If you don't want to use that word warrior, then throw all those shields away. Because if throughout human culture, the shield is a symbol of a warrior. A lot of people carried a stick around. A lot of people carried a bow around. But if you carried a shield on your left side, your full-time job was to be a warrior. So please continue.
No, I wanted to talk to you about ideology. You know, we've seen the increase in terrorism in this country and of course throughout the world increasing. And this is something that you spoke about. I remember years ago that you proclaimed that this was going to happen. I remember hearing that, and I remember thinking, I hope he's wrong, but I know he's right. So we see an ideology that is affecting people's minds, even Americans who somehow absorb this insanity and then go out and act on it.
Yes.
How do you equate that to the same kind of ideological thing we're seeing with movements like Black Lives Matter?
You know, the lone jackal threat, and don't call them lone wolves, it's way too romantic. It's an insult to wolves, you know, the slimy little jackals. But that lone jackal attack, the Boston Marathon bombers, San Bernardino, the Pulse nightclub. That lone jackal threat is really interesting. Every military base in America in May of last year went to force protection level Bravo and stayed there. Now, this is huge. We've never had our entire armed forces at force protection level Bravo and stayed there. And the reason why, and this should be front page news in every newspaper, the intel guys tell us more people are signing out this Islamic State, ISIS, than we can keep track of. Now, ISIS is brilliant at online recruiting. And here's the key. You and I watch them cut somebody's head off, and we're enraged, we're horrified, nauseated. Thousands of Americans watch them cut those heads off and said, how do I get to be one of the guys cutting heads off? How do I get a piece of this? We fed them evil video games and evil TV shows and evil movies. They see real evil. They see real people's heads being cut off. And their first response is, I want a piece of this. Now, let's go to the Black Lives Matter. When I was a kid, I sincerely wanted to be Marshall Dillon. Gunsmoke. I had the lunchbox baby. You know, Sergeant Friday, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. My mom said if I said that to her one more time, she would smack me. Today, it's my great honor to be a cop. But Randy, there is a whole generation out there that wants to be the Sopranos, Breaking Bad, Sons of Anarchy, and they gang loaded at the end of Grand Theft Auto. We could not have done a better job of recruiting a generation of gangbangers if we tried. The federal government says in 2009, we had 1 million true blue gang members in America. In 2011, 1.4 million. 2013, 2015, you know, I don't know either, because the federal report went away. Poof, federal report gone. But I think it wouldn't be wrong to estimate 2 million full-time true blue criminal gang members. We have created an entire part of our society who takes the side of the criminal and believes the cop is the bad guy. And this is a product of a lifetime of brainwashing. You know, even our heroes are dark anti-heroes. Can't we have plain old heroes no more? Batman and Superman fight each other. The Avengers fight each other. There are no heroes. That's the message. And if you are immersed in Hollywood's message, it is a sick, pathological, dysfunctional message. The cops are the bad guys. Criminals are the good guys. There are no good guys. And the one who wins is the one who goes out and gets the most stuff. It is a pathological message fed to our kids. Your generation, my generation, we wanted to be one Adam 12 and Ponce and John on Chips and Sergeant Freddy and Marshall Dillon. We got to understand there is a big chunk of this generation who sincerely believes being the Sopranos is one of the greatest achievements in life. We've been building up this for a very long time, and it's going to get a hell of a lot worse.
And don't you see and feel that the propaganda machine that has been begun by the Black Lives Matter movement has ramped up to a point where it is so well funded and so organized that it is basically taking policing like a rag doll in the mouth of a pit bull and just shaking it.
Yeah.
And it seems like the police response is not being heard by the public.
Yeah. Here's where we sit right now, I think. Every December, Wall Street Journal does an opinion poll. And last December, the opinion of law enforcement was up 11% across the board. Every demographic group, every age group, the opinion of law enforcement was up. But recruiting is in the pits. And nationwide, we see it. People say, we support you. We stand behind you. We see what the dirtbags in the media are doing. The opinion of the media is probably the lowest it's ever been. The right. Two most respected institutions in America is military and law enforcement, more than ever. But simultaneously, recruiting's in the pits. We stand behind you. We believe in you, but we don't want to be you.
Right.
We don't want this to be you. So what did the media accomplish? After Ferguson, we went from 9/11 heroes to an incessant drumbeat. Every stupid thing any cop ever did, caught on film, is being fed to us night after night after night. And the media says the bad man's gone, the wolf is gone. We don't want the sheepdog anymore. We don't like sheepdogs around. Bah, the sheepdog, we don't want predators around. Well, the American public knows the wolf is not gone. They know the threat is still there. The opinion of law enforcement is up. The opinion of the media is way down. Look at the harm they've done. Recruiting is down. And violent crime has exploded. Meanwhile, the upshot of this, the most salient result, is the cop haters have been empowered.
Right.
Sure, the opinion of law enforcement is up. But on the other end of that spectrum, the cop hater has been empowered. You know, the mayor of New York, after the Grant incident? Yeah. The mayor of New York has the blood of those two cops on his hands.
Absolutely.
He threw the cops to the dogs. You know, he could have said, look, when our cops do something wrong, we're going to hold them accountable. But the black business owners had asked me to clear the street vendors out of there. There was a black female sergeant standing right there. The man died of a heart attack. You know, the message is not about law enforcement in this one. The message is don't fight with my cops. And don't fight with my cops while you're fat and you have a heart condition. You know, but instead the mayor threw the cops under the bus. And just a day later, somebody goes out and murders two cops. It's a direct cause and effect relationship. Well, the director of the FBI has called what's happening nationwide the Ferguson effect. And the president and the Department of Justice have pandered to the lowest common denominator. They did what the mayor of New York did at a national level. they have pandered to this anti-cop lowest common denominator. And the murder of the cops in Dallas and the murder of the cops in Baton Rouge, that blood is on the hands of our president and our Department of Justice. And the media. The media and our federal government mishandling of law enforcement cases is a direct causal dynamic to the murder of cops in Dallas and the murder of cops. And of course, not just Dallas and Baton Rouge, but the onesies and twosies out there. We currently have 70% more cops murdered in the line of duty than last year. And people don't understand, Randy, this is so important. If it weren't for body armor, the number of murdered cops would be double what it is.
Yes.
If we had 1970s technology, 1970s medical technology, that number would be four times what it is. Take the number of dead cops, multiply by eight. That's how many there would be without body armor and without medical technology in the 1970s. Tactics, training, technology. In 2011, the U.S. Marshals had a record number of U.S. Marshals murdered in the line of duty. The following year, they had no Marshals murdered. They completely transformed their tactics, their training, their equipment. They spent vast amounts of money. The public doesn't understand. Comparing the number of dead cops this year with 10 years ago, is an absolutely invalid comparison.
So when you saw the Washington Post article that said, A, there is no war on cops, and B, this is the safest time to be a police officer under the Obama administration, I know my head wanted to explode.
It is absolutely insane. It is an absolute denial of reality. A virtual doubling of cops murdered in the line of duty, no big deal. A doubling of the homicide rate in some of our major cities, no big deal. You know, what people need to realize is medical technology is holding down the homicide rate. Yeah, major UMass Harvard study, peer-reviewed journal, irrefutable data. If we have 1970s technology, the murder rate would be four times what it is. If we had 1930s technology, no 911 systems, no phones for most people. No ambulance services, no automobiles for most people. When you finally get the poor guy to the hospital, no antibiotics. How many more would die without cars and phones and antibiotics? Many, many, easily 10 times as many. So I saw a goofball article by a crackpot journalist. Don't worry about the kids today. They've given us the lowest murder rate in 50 years. And that's your BS meter going off.
Right.
Comparing the murder rate with 50 years ago is a completely invalid comparison. Comparing the number of dead cops today with 10 years ago is a pretty invalid comparison.
Right.
Comparing this year to last year is really the most effective comparison that we have. As time goes further apart, the number of dead cops underrepresents the problem. It's bad. It's very, very bad. And for the left wing to say, we shouldn't panic. Bullshit, we should be panicking. It's time to panic. Bad times are upon us, and it's going to get a lot worse. We will reap what we sow for a decade, for a generation to come.
Well, on that happy note, you know, we're running out of time, Dave, but you've written a tremendous amount of books, both in the law enforcement field and then in the science fiction as well.
Yeah.
And how many books are you up to now?
I don't know. It depends on who I co-author with. And I had some guys with, you know, Leo Frankowski, where I had about 10% in the book. I don't really count those. And then my books where I did fiction and then the nonfiction. But yeah, it's been an honor to work with a lot of good people. We have a new book coming out right after the elections from Little Brown and Company. This is one of the biggest publishers in America.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's going to be a big release. It's called Assassination Generation. And it will be the definitive attack on media violence. It will be the definitive outline of crime and a realistic representation of what's going on and just how bad it is. And the fact that, you know, all the old problems are still there, the old problems are still important, but worldwide, the new factors, the sick movies and the sick video games, creating sick, sick kids.
When is that book coming out?
It's going to come out right after the elections.
That's awesome. Is there a website that my listeners can go to though they can pre-order it?
Well, you know, that's a great question. You know, keep an eye on our, we've got a sheepdog tip of the day page.
What is that?
Sheepdog tip of the day, Facebook. That's all you need. Just go to Facebook, load in sheepdog tip of the day. And we got 30,000 on that. And a good friend of mine just took all of my writing, broke it into little chunks, so you can get a chunk a day.
Oh, awesome.
And it's cool. Just a little chunk a day. And we use it as a medium. I've got, you know, Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman Facebook page as well. We use that as a medium to put information out. And as soon as the book is available for pre-ordering, we'll let it be known. That's great point, man. I would have never thought of that. This morning.
That's what I'm here for.
You're awesome, dude. Fellow author, fellow warrior wordsmith. It's fun. As iron sharpens iron. But I just finished doing the audio book this morning. I just came back from the studio this morning, finishing the audio book. The audio book will release. I did all the reading on it. It's going to be a good book.
That's very exciting. Very exciting. Now, is there a website where that you would want my listeners to go to?
Well, you know, my website's Killology.com, but my right-hand guy here, showed me, if you go to Assassination Generation on Amazon.com, you can pre-order the book. I never knew that.
You see?
you can go pre-order the book right now.
That's awesome. And I recommend all of my listeners to do that right now. I'm going to do it as soon as you and I are offline.
You know, can I make kind of one final point?
Absolutely.
These are dark and desperate times, but they've been other dark times. And we made it through those times. Because Americans stood up and sacrificed. And my son's got 7 combat tours of spec ops. You know, we don't have a heart over here. They got a heart over there. They got a heart. You know, and if my sacrifice, see my family 1 or 2 nights a week, that's not too much to ask. If our sacrifice, hang up the golf clubs and hit the range and hit the gym and hit the dojo, that's not too much to ask. But the bad news is that so many pigeons have come home to roost, it darkens the sky. But that means we get to fight in the shade. As the old Spartan warrior said, good, we will fight in the shade. And the bad news is very bad times are upon us. But the good news is you have job security. We have never needed you more than we need you now.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Well, it's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a lineup of great content back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
This is Police Story, the real stories from those behind the bat.
Each week on Police Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, I read what is called Police Story, and that is a story written by a police officer, either active duty, retired, or a former police officer. And this week we have a story written by Deputy Matt Walker, who is a 23-year veteran police officer from Texas. It's entitled 9/11, We Will Never Forget. I put on my uniform, grabbed my coffee, and got in my car on my way to an extra job. I turned on the radio, and after a few seconds, I noticed the DJs sounded upset, and they were talking about a fire and something about a plane crash in New York. It wasn't until a minute or two later that the news captured my full attention, when there was mention of America being under attack, and that a plane had intentionally struck the World Trade Center. Shortly after I arrived at the extra job, a bank, I could feel my pulse racing as I was processing what I had just heard. I walked inside the bank and noticed there weren't any employees in the lobby or anywhere to be seen up front. I made my way into the back and found everyone huddled around an old 37-inch TV and with a look of desperation in all of their faces. They looked up at me as I walked towards them. I hadn't seen what they had yet. One teller, an elderly female, had her hand cupped over her mouth as she watched me walk towards them. My stomach began to sink as I got closer to the TV. And then I saw it. One tower was in flames, and they were replaying footage of the second tower being slammed by another plane, which had just happened real time, only seconds before I arrived. This was the moment everyone in America realized that was no accident, and America was under attack by Islamic terrorists. Only weeks prior to the 9/11 attacks, I had arrived home from a 1-year mission in Bosnia. I was still trying to find my footing after being off American soil for so long and in a war-torn country. Back up a few months, February, and I had just taken emergency leave to fly home to bury my dad, who died in the hospital before I could get home to say goodbye to him. I remember the flight home at 33,000 feet when I told my dad goodbye, because I already knew he was gone.
having just returned from the mission, I remember the anger and the patriotic duty that flooded my veins the very second I realized that the 9/11 attacks were exactly that. I wanted to go to war against this evil. I wanted the chance to go somewhere to fight this terror. Then I realized this terror was right here in the heart of America, and I was already in uniform, fighting the only way I knew how, and in the best way I could. I continue putting on that uniform every day, and have ever since then, doing the same thing so many of my brothers and sisters did the day they died, trying to save and rescue the thousands of terrified citizens in the World Trade Center. 2001 was a year I will never forget. So much death, destruction, and personal pain. The loss of thousands of innocent American lives will forever weigh heavy on our souls. But from what we draw strength and the motivation to keep fighting the many forms of terror that to this day still walks among us as sleepers. We will never forget, and we will continue to fight, and we will win. God bless America, and may God bless the Thin Blue Line. And that was written by Deputy Matt Walker, a 23-year veteran police officer from Texas. If you have a story that you've written or know of a story written by a police officer, send it to me at randysutton@americaoutloud.com, and I'll read it on the air. Danger!
End of watch.
Each week on Police Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, we remember those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice and who have lost their lives in the line of duty. We call it End of Watch. This week, I have two names, unfortunately, to read. The first officer is Master Deputy Sheriff Brandon Collins of the Johnson County Sheriff's Office in Kansas. Master Deputy Sheriff Brandon Collins was killed when his patrol car was struck from behind while he conducted a traffic stop on northbound US 69 near West 143rd Street in Overland Park at approximately 1:30 a.m. He had re-entered his patrol car when a pickup truck struck him from behind, causing it to burst into flames. The driver of the truck fled the scene on foot but was arrested a short time later. Deputy Collins had served with the Johnson County Sheriff's Office for 21 years. He survived by his wife and two daughters. Master Deputy Sheriff Brandon Collins, End of Watch, Sunday, September 11th, 2016. The second police officer we will honor today, Police Officer Tim Brekeen of the Shelby Police Department in North Carolina. Police Officer Tim Brekeen succumbed to gunshot wounds sustained 2 days earlier while attempting to arrest a wanted subject near the intersections of DeKalb Street and Gidney Street. He was searching the area when other officers who were on the scene heard several gunshots. They located Officer Brekeen moments later, suffering from gunshot wounds. He was taken to Cleveland Regional Medical Center and then transferred to the Carolinas Medical Center, where he remained until succumbing to his wounds. The subject who shot him remains at large. Officer Brekeen had served with the Shelby Police Department for 13 years, was assigned to the K-9 unit. He is survived by his wife and his daughter. Police Officer Tim Brekeen, Shelby Police Department, North Carolina, his End of Watch, Monday, September 12th, 2016. I want to thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Police Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. I hope that you enjoyed our guest. I hope that you enjoyed my view from the blue. I'd love for you to follow me on Facebook, Randy Sutton, public figure, and also on Twitter at Lieutenant Randy Sutton. Follow us on America Out Loud for a wide range of excellent programs in addition to Police Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I'll talk to you next week. Stay safe.